Joining us now for our weekly injury report brought to you by Ortho Colorado Hospitals is Dr. David Schneider. You can find him at Panorama Orthopedic. Dr. David Schneider joins us now. Doc, it's Andy and Tyler Palumbus. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Good morning, guys, and looking forward to a great season.
Yeah, great to have you back again. You know, you've kind of been the predictor of things. I was telling Tyler as we got ready to do this segment, and for the listeners in the morning that aren't familiar with your work, we had you on in the afternoon last year, and you would always seem to give us the right diagnosis, which amazed me because you weren't ever looking at the charts or the x-rays of these players.
Right.
So I'm going to ask you to put on your predictive cap again. We've got some injuries already affecting the Broncos. I guess the first one we'll start with is Shaq Barrett. He's got the hip injury, and of the walking wounded right now, he appears to be the one that may be out the longest. We'll get to Jake Butt in a second. But he was out here kind of running today, walking around today. How tricky are the hip injuries, and what should we expect as far as realistic return for him?
It's a tough read on him, Andy. You know, trying to do a little detective work, trying to figure out what exactly went wrong with him. We know it's an off-season injury, a training injury. I don't know if it's a labral tear that he had, a non-displaced labral tear deep in his hip, or if it's a groin injury. I'm flying a little blind on him, and I think it's really more what it looks like on the field, what his core looks like, and, of course, the concern with an injury like this is that it really sets you up for other injuries, and so I think they're going to treat him very carefully.
Doc, we've got a couple guys with wrist injuries here in Shane Ray and Devontae Booker. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I know that Shane Ray had surgery to repair a torn ligament in his left wrist. And Booker, I believe he had a fracture, not a ligament tear, but what can you tell us about those two injuries?
Both are kind of encouraging. You know, it's weird that it happened within just days of each other. Shane Ray sounds like he injured the ligament in between the scaphoid bone and his lunate bone. So if you look at your hand at the base of your thumb all the way towards the base of the wrist, you have those eight little bones. And the scaphoid bone is the most important bone in the entire wrist. Shane Ray hurt the ligament right next to that scaphoid bone. It used to be that ligament injury was very poorly treated in the 80s and 90s. Once you had that injury, your wrist was never right, and in time, as years went by, your wrist was just trashed. Now we have ways of fixing that. The ligament injury is not too bad. I think it's really predictable that he might miss just a couple games, but I think they're still targeting the end of September, maybe against the Bills. Devontae Booker's injury is the actual fracture of that same bone, the scaphoid bone, and again, that was really poorly treated 10, 20 years ago. Now you put a screw in there, immobilize him. I bet he'll be back even before Shane Ray.
So should we not have any concerns about the grip on the football with him with that kind of injury? Because this is a guy that did have some fumbling problems last year.
I don't think he will. That scaphoid fracture sounds like it wasn't a complicated operation. I think, you know, the first thing you want to do is try and get it healed and immobilized and no catastrophes. But I think once we get into October and if he's playing fine, I think it's an afterthought then.
Doc, as we talk about guys getting back, and we talk about knee injuries a lot, maybe we'll even get your thoughts on Jamal Charles and what he's facing as he comes back, because they've really limited his participation. But Jake Butt, there's a guy that they've talked a lot about. I know you're a big college football fan. I don't know if you happen to see the injury when it occurred, but they're hoping maybe mid-season for him. With what you witnessed on the field, with what you've seen about his recovery timetable, is that realistic, or do you think this may just end up being a redshirt year for the tight end?
I think he'll get back. You know, he had that injury, the re-injury in that same right knee in the Orange Bowl, and didn't wait long. He had surgery right away. The big thing with him is it was revision ACL. Sometimes when a revision ACL is done, it has to be redone because the original surgeon maybe could have placed the bone tunnels a little better, and then it fails. Well, that didn't happen with Jake. So the redo itself sometimes isn't as traumatic, and the rehab is better. Almost every athlete will tell you, God forbid if they have to face a reoperation on their ACL. The second go-round is not as dramatic. It's not as traumatic. It doesn't swell as much. So their rehab time is cut down. And so they don't have as much quad atrophy. Their rehab is better. I think they'll be a little careful with him because he's such talent. But, man, I wouldn't be surprised if he misses less than half the season.
Doc, we've got a handful of guys with what appear to be relatively minor injuries. T.J. Ward's got a hamstring going on. Ronald Leary has got a groin going on. And Menelik Watson's got a hip strain. Are any of those of concern to you, or do you expect them all to be back quickly?
I think they'll be back. You know, those kind of injuries, those old training camp injuries, especially in cagey veterans, sometimes almost it's a...
Oh, don't say we faked it. I'm kidding.
Tyler, I would never imply that, my friend.
But, right, right.
You know, those hammies and those kind of injuries, especially in the heat, I think they'll do better.
Well, Doc, we always appreciate it. Before we let you go, what would you watch for with Jamal Charles? What are you looking for to make sure, okay, he's okay, he feels right, or right. And he looks like he's wearing a brace, but he doesn't like it.
Right.
He's always grabbing at the brace and I think trying to adjust it. What should we watch for when we finally get to see Jamal Charles?
I think with Jamal, he's the kind of guy that's going to shed that. He's a really light guy, obviously. It's all about cutbacks and quick up-the-field turns. Most of those kind of guys can't stand to have a brace. I think he's the kind of guy that you just hope, cross your fingers a little bit, that you get a lot of good use out of him. But crossing my fingers a little bit on Jamal.
Well, you know what? We really appreciate the time. We look forward to talking to you as we get throughout the year here. Hopefully we don't have a lot of injuries related to the Broncos to talk
Amen.
About. But, you know, by the way, have you seen Tony Romo lately? I always remember you telling me that Tony Romo could play with that that fracture in his back. He's about as skinny as I've ever seen. That guy's not coming back to football anytime soon, is he?
I don't think so. Not one bit. I was shocked with Cutler coming back. I guess we'll see if he gets his mind right or not, but – I think Romo's officially loving the press box now.
Yeah. By the way, Cutler said he doesn't have to be in cardiovascular shape. Has that been your experience with quarterbacks? They don't need to worry about being in a cardio shape. Would you agree, or should he maybe do a couple of sprints?
He probably should do a little bit. I think he's going to go wilt in Miami a little bit, though.
Yeah, yeah. The heat still stinks under those pads. Doc, thanks so much. We look forward to chatting with you this year.
All right, likewise. Have a good day.
The co-host of Palumbus and Lindahl Mornings on Orange and Blue 760 at 7 a.m., Tyler Palumbus, the sideline reporter for our Denver Broncos broadcast. Tyler, it is Mason Mike. How are you, sir?
Doing great, boys. Good to be with you.
Are you ready for a football game, my friend?
I am. You know what? It feels like fall. It's been rainy for a few weeks now. It feels like it's just all the stars are aligning and football season's here.
Hey Tyler, now we've been talking a little bit about how we're going to focus on O-line, D-line, and how we want to see what they do on Thursday. With the O-line in particular, what do you want to see from them Thursday night?
Well, I think it starts with setting the tone, right? And so with the offensive line, they can control is what they do. They've got a quarterback battle going on behind them. That's not the most comforting feeling in the world for an offensive lineman, right? But they do have an opportunity to go set the tone of why they were brought in here, and each and every one of them, to a man, when they came in, either through free agency or through the draft, they all talked about being bullies and setting the tone and playing with an attitude. So I'd love to see these boys come out, make sure that their running backs get 4 yards before they're even touched. Then it's on the running backs to get another 2 or 3 yards behind that. But, you know, set the tone. Let the team know that, hey, no matter who's behind us at the quarterback spot, you're going to have a reliable group in front of you.
Up front, both sides of the ball, Tyler, do you believe pieces are in place for the offensive line and defensive line to be markedly better this year?
Well, I'll start by saying I'm not entirely sure of anything until I see it in a
right.
real-life game, right?
Right.
I mean, last year during training camp, I'm watching the offensive line, and I was on record as saying I thought the O-line looked fantastic. I really did. Donald Stevenson was playing great. Russell Okung was playing great. I thought the O-line was gonna have a good year, and then lo and behold, they didn't, right? So you never know what's going to happen until it goes down. But I will tell you this, running the ball, I love the way these guys are working in unison. This new scheme, it's not built for the big chunk plays like the wide zone running scheme is, but what it is built for is to be very consistent. And there's no reason why you shouldn't get 4 to 6 yards every time you run the football, the way that we've got all these double teams going north and south. So I want to see consistent play. The one area that I just can't answer until I see it in a real life situation is going to be the pass protection. I feel very good about the running game, and I do expect that to translate into a game situation, but I don't know about the pass pro yet. Look, you watch Garrett Bowles, and he's playing one of the toughest spots on the field at left tackle, and he's a rookie. I know what it was like for me as a rookie. I was swimming. I fully expect to watch Garrett Bowles get exposed a handful of times. Does that mean I don't like him? Absolutely not. I love his athleticism. I love his ability. I think he could be a great player. But I don't know if he's going to be ready right out the gate. So I'd expect to see him take his lumps. Then you go to the right side, and you look at Menelik Watson, maybe Donald Stevenson. I expect it would be Watson all the way through. But even he, I look at him as a road grader. I'd expect him to look like any right tackle in the league. And when I say that, right tackles, expect them to get beat 2 to 3 times a game and hold your breath and hope that he doesn't get a sack. That's what most right tackles are in this league. And let's just hope that he blocks his guy that extra breath. So on the offensive line, I'm hopeful, but I can't tell you until I see it in a game time situation. And then on the defensive side, you know, all I tell you is they've all come back. They all look like different bodies. Derek Wolfe, Adam Gotsis. They've gained a bunch of good, healthy-looking weight. They brought in Pecco and Kerr. Those are big boys. I would say that they've done all that they could to solve that rush defense problem over there. But again, I'm not confident of anything until I see it in the game time situation.
Exactly. Tyler Palumbas with us, co-host of Palumbas and Lindahl Mornings on Orange and Blue 760. Tyler, it looks like, I mean, from what Vance Joseph said, each quarterback, Simeon and Lynch, are going to get a quarter and a half of playing time. And if you then assume, which I think is safe to say, that it would probably be something along the same lines in San Francisco, I mean, each guy's getting 3 quarters to prove that he's the guy.
Yeah, they'll get plenty of time to play. You know, the challenge at hand now, though, is going to be, well, who gets the most reps with the starting unit? Because in this first game, although the quarterbacks are going to get extended action, I don't expect the starting wide receivers to get extended action. I would imagine that if they have one decent drive, the starting wide receivers will be out of the game. Then you look at the offensive line, and they'll probably start slowly replacing those guys. But it's always hard to judge who got ahead when, number one, they don't have the full starting group in with them. And then also on top of that, keep in mind, Paxton Lynch, he'll be going against the twos defense the majority of his day in there, right? So he won't be going against the starting defensive front for the Bears. So it's not like it's just going to be apples to apples as far as what you're comparing out there. It's going to be a mixed bag, and it's still a challenge. I think it's good they're getting extended playing time, but it's still not like you're comparing apples to apples as far as who they're playing against.
Is there one guy that you are more excited, more interested in, more intrigued by to watch in particular than any other?
Well, I got to tell you, the guy that's really caught my eye, there's a handful of battles I'll be watching, but the guy that's really caught my eye, and I loved him when we had him on our show for an interview, was Stephen Ridley. His story it's just great. His humility when he came on air, it was just a breath of fresh air. He was talking about the uphill battle he's got in front of him. He understands that this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance. He was not expecting it. He said this is far from what he thought was going to happen. You know, he didn't think he'd be in a training camp right now. And all of a sudden, I got to tell you, if he keeps playing the way he is, he's going to fight his way onto this roster. So I'm going to be watching him very closely, number one, because I'm rooting for him, and number two, because he's been catching my eye during training camp. And then I look at the cornerback battle for that number four spot, and there was a bit of a surprise there with Langley getting ahead of Doss, and I'll be watching those guys closely. You know, Doss got a vote of confidence from Joe Woods when he was talking about him being like a four-leaf clover and always being around the ball, but he also said, look, this guy's got some areas that he's got to improve on, and now Langley's all of a sudden ahead of him in the depth chart, and Langley's the type of guy that's got the skill set of being the tall, lanky cornerback that now the NFL is going towards. And, well, he's very raw. So what will he develop into? Those are going to be the two spots that I'll be watching closely.
Yeah, Tyler, when you see a move like that, when you have Langley ahead of Doss, and Doss makes the plays and Langley's kind of raw, is there a kind of message that's maybe being sent to Doss perhaps with a move like that? Or is it something else that you think that goes on when they make that kind of a move on the depth chart?
Well, you never know if it's a message or if it's just a guy that they believe in. I do know one thing. Doss, when he's been given the opportunity, has generally been fairly reliable. Mm-hmm. You know, last year he had a lights-out training camp. I feel like he was getting picks in every single practice, and I can still picture Aqib Talib sprinting 60 yards to celebrate him during training camp last year. And this year, again, He's just been steady and reliable. But I'm not watching that film as closely as the coaches are. And obviously there's something in his game that they're either trying to send a message about or they just don't like enough at this point in time. Whereas a guy like Langley, the new guy's always going to get a little bit more grace when there's air in his game versus the veteran, because the veteran, it's expected that you would have improved that by now. But with the rookie, with the young guy, or with the free agent, you'll always get more grace because you're the new guy around here, and coaches believe that they can mold them into what they want. So I think it's a combination of things, Mace. But on top of that, the biggest thing, I think you just look at a guy like Langley and you say, holy cow, if I can just teach him to play the way I want, look at this body type. This is what Seattle did. This is what Washington's starting to do. This is what the trend of the NFL is. Get these big, tall, rangy corners out there on the field and make life tough on wide receivers and let them be physical. So I think it's mostly just a skill set that you look at Langley and you're trying to develop.
You might be right, because there's a couple of times I've seen him, and you know, it's clear that he's really close. He's like just a tick off on breaking back and making plays. But when he kind of catches up to the speed of the game and it's there, there might be something special with this guy. It's almost there with him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they said he's raw. They said to expect some time to develop him. That's fine. You know, I think he's got an outside chance of competing with Cody Latimer for the kickoff return job. I know that they're looking for a taller, more thick body back there versus the punt returner, where Isaiah McKenzie is going to man that spot down. But I think he's got a chance to contribute on special teams as well. And for Doss and Langley both, it's certainly what it's going to come down to for whoever dresses on game day. It'll be who contributes most on special teams.
Tyler, great stuff. We really appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing your analysis from the sideline on Thursday night. Thank you.
Enjoyed it, guys.
Tyler Palumbus, co-host of Palumbus and Lindahl Mornings on Orange and Blue 760.
Yeah, good stuff as always.
Yeah, great stuff. We're going to break some of that down, talk a little bit about what Tyler shared with us. Also still to come very shortly, Mike McCoy's thoughts, the Broncos offensive coordinator, next on Orange and Blue 760.
Zach's girlfriend is expecting, I believe, your first child.
Yes.
Today the baby is due, so Zach could get pulled away at any time.
Wow. Well, hey, good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks
Zach
for having
Kerr is
me.
Our guest. I'm Dave Logan. That's Brandon Cristall. So so today maybe, right, for the baby?
Yeah, we were hoping for today, but he's being real stubborn, so we'll see. We'll see what we can get out of him.
Stubborn can be a good trait from time to time.
Sometimes.
So this is your first camp with the Broncos. I mean, how have things gone so far for you?
Things are pretty much going up and down. You know, I've had good days. I've had bad days. I've had good plays. I've had bad plays. So right now I'm just kind of trying to focus on being more consistent and, you know, learning the style of defense that the Broncos play. You know?
Break it down for us a little bit. When you say good days and bad days, I think I know what a good day for a defensive lineman looks like. What's a bad day look like to you?
Just not playing blocks the correct way. Hand placement. Not really winning any pass rushes. Runs in your gap. You know, certain stuff like that. I mean, because a lot of times when people think about defensive line play, they think about either sacking a quarterback or making the TFL, but they don't really understand the technique and, you know, the focus that goes into playing that position. So, some days you play the same block you get every day good, and some days you play it bad, you know. So I'm just trying to get on the track where every day is a good day.
From a schematic standpoint, what are a couple of big differences between what you're experiencing now here as opposed to what you saw with the Colts?
It's definitely more attacking, and you can the different types of techniques you can use on offensive linemen now, opposed to reading, chasing the guy that you're on, opposed to playing back into a guy that's coming down on you. Different things like that that I've never done in my career in the NFL. So
were you guys a 3-man surface in Indianapolis?
Yeah, we were 3-4 as well, but it was just a different style of a 3-4.
Were you a 2-gap defense?
Something like that. We weren't really a 2-gap on every down, but for the most part, we were a keep the linebackers clean defense over there.
Which is good for the linebackers, maybe not all that fun for the guys in front.
Exactly. So, you know, you kind of get in the mode of latching onto a guy, and you almost turn into an offensive lineman a little bit and not really letting that guy get up to the linebackers. And we still got the same type of downs here. Some, you know, there's some downs I have to do the same thing here. But it's just a little bit more different where that's literally your – that is your job, you know. So
one of the newest Broncos, our guest here, Zach Kerr, joins us at 1248 on Orange and Blue 760. I'm Dave Logan. The defense – well, let me ask you about from a physical standpoint. I know you had the leg issue. How are you physically?
I'm actually getting a lot better opposed to OTAs. It feels – it's almost like night and day. It's getting to the point where I almost have no soreness and no pain in it. There's still a little bit of soreness, still a little bit of pain here and there. But as far as running around, it feels good when I get it warmed up and I run around. And as far as after practice, it's starting to feel a lot better after every practice. And, you know, that comes with time and rehab and treating your body right, eating the right things and
sure.
stuff like that.
So what did you think of the Broncos defense prior to you signing with the Broncos? I mean, how much did you keep up with really what they were doing when you played for the Colts?
I did. I'm a football fan. You know, I'm not just a fan of, you know, just going to work. And I'm actually a football fan. So I kept up with the Broncos a lot. And obviously it was the best defense in the NFL from my eyes. So once I got the opportunity, I was like, yeah, I want to do it. But I mean, just the things that I seen from them, I think a couple of years ago, I don't know if it was last year or the year before that, but they were leading the league and scoring on defense.
2 years ago.
2 years ago was like 7 or 10 touchdowns or something like that. Like, I mean, you look at those type of things and they're consistent with it year in and year out. So I thought very highly of the Broncos defense before I was a player.
Final couple questions for Zach Kerr. When you hear the name Bill Kolar,
yeah.
What 3 or 4 things pop into your mind?
Am I allowed to say those? Am I allowed to say those words?
By the way, for people driving around now, Bill Kolar is the esteemed defensive line coach, a long time, great defensive line coach. Well, you may have to clean him up a little
bit. You got to clean him up a little bit.
Clean him up just a little bit. But what pops into your mind?
A hard-nosed, hard-working coach who really pushes you to the limit. As a player, he wants to see how far you can go as a player, and it might not always be a bowl of cherries with Bill. You know, he's a good coach, he's a good guy, and you know, he might say a couple colorful words here and there, but I mean, it's all in him wanting you to be the best player you could be.
Is he different off the field in meeting rooms as opposed to when practice starts?
Yeah, I mean, he's different. I think once you know when Bill's in football mode and when he's not in football mode. So he's definitely a different person on the field than just outside of even the meeting room. You know, in the meeting room, he's kind of the same person. On the field, he's kind of the same person. But once there's no football-specific activities going on, he's a different guy.
Listen, we appreciate you coming by. Good luck on the baby.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yep. And
I just wanted to sneak in and ask, what are you doing with – If the baby comes Thursday morning, do you just come by after the game, or how does that work?
I mean, yeah, and it's – I just gotta come by after I get off work, you know.
Okay,
that's usually how it works in the NFL.
That's usually how it works in the NFL.
Yeah.
And my lady understands it 100%. I got my mom here, her mom's here, my big sister. We got a bunch of, you know, we got everybody here just in case I'm not available to be there. But
there you go.
We took care of that.
Good luck. Welcome to Denver.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.